Measures Radio Network, the voice of the 3%, is now on the air.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Yeah, my only hope was Betty Lou. She was the one. A combination AK-57 Uzi Raider laser triple barrel double scoped heat seeking shotgun.
Nobody knew where he came from. They only knew he came in.
Uh-oh. Here he comes again. Here's Cope with the shooting bench.
I still remember these words. Oh, it's plain that you're looking for trouble. Trouble's what I try to shun. If that's what you want, then that's what you'll get. 'Cause cowboy, we're both packing guns.
You know what's good for you. Stay tuned for 100% Gun Talk, coming up right now.
44 spoke, and he said letting smoke. 17 inches of flame. Oh, the big one had never cleared leather. Beaten before he could start. A little round hole had appeared on his shirt. The bullet went clear through his heart.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. We advise that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
People say we don't need this war, but I say there's some things worth fighting for. What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down. They say we don't realize the mess we're getting in. You start your preaching, let me ask you this, my friend. Have you forgotten how it felt that day to see your homeland under fire and her people blown away? Have you forgotten when those towers fell said it's too disturbing for you and me. It'll just breed anger, that's what the experts say. It was up to me, I'd show it every day. Some say this country's just out of looking for a fight. Well, after 9/11, man, I'd have to say that's right. Have you forgotten how it felt that day? See your homeland under fire and her people blown away. Have you forgotten when those towers fell? We had neighbors still inside going through.
There we go. There's a tribute to what went on here 13 years ago. And it's all that's been on the news and on everybody's mind today is the crashing the planes into the Twin Towers here. And a lot of other things are going on all at the same time here. And, of course, we've had our cry wolf here again, it looks like. We'll find out here in the next 3 hours. Four hours. If anything, if we count Hawaii, then it's 5 or 6 hours. It still could be September 11th somewhere in the United States up until it's midnight in Hawaii. I don't really think that Hawaii is a target. I think that if they were to do anything over there, yes, they could get a fantastic body count, but they wouldn't get nearly the psychological effect I think that they'd like to have. So we'll wait and see what if anything happens. Nobody should be disappointed. I'm hoping that everybody's grateful that nothing has happened. But along with that, we have got quite a few other things to talk about. Big deal. That was a good movie, Doc. I loved that show. Matter of fact, I don't tell just everybody this, but I'll tell everybody in the whole world right now. The first time I saw Tora, when I was, 13 years old or something like that, I can remember crying all the way home because of the ending of that and how it took place. And I've never forgot that. Let me get Mountain Shooter's question here right quick, and we'll move into some other things. Is there any truth of Blackwater operators at the ranch in Nevada? No, I don't think so. If there were, they were very low-key, dressed like everybody else, didn't have any organization. There could have been, but not to my knowledge. I'm not aware of anything going on like that. Now, the next biggest thing that's been going on, or is about to go on today, is the CMEs. Apparently there's two of them back-to-back on their way here from the sun. And this is supposed to be a pretty significant event compared to the average solar solar flare, solar storm, whatever you want to call it. And I think it has woke a lot of people up. Will it destroy everything where we put us back in the 18th century? No, I don't think so. I think that depending on now this is strictly coming from a logic, but I have no scientific knowledge of this stuff whatsoever. But with a little common sense, it would seem to me that if the depending on which hemisphere was facing that way when it hit, depending on it would depend on how severe we were affected by it. Meaning, if we were facing the sun when this thing comes and hits us, then I would think that it would be much worse. If we're on the other side, then I would think that it wouldn't be as bad. But that's just me. I don't know. But I do see, from what I've read about it, I do see that it is possible that there could be some minor damage to unprotected, wide-open computers and cell phones and radios and stuff. I don't think it's anything that's going to affect vehicles this time. It might, but I don't really think it would. I've found out a lot of things today. Are you off to bed? We found out a lot of things today about how to protect some of these things. And from there's a difference here between a regular organized man-made EMP, which is more focused than this CME thing. There's quite a bit of difference in how you protect from it. And according to a physicist that put a report out on this, it says for something like this that you're pretty well protected in just in a filing cabinet, that the cracks where the door is shouldn't be a real big deal. From an EMP, it would not help, but for something like this, it's not going to be too hard to protect them. If you've got a gun safe that's not... of course, a lot of this is dependent on, too, on how severe it's going to be. If your gun safe is not grounded and doesn't have metal gaskets between the door and the body, they say that that is adequate. If you think that it's not, then you can take that metal the tape that you use for taping ductwork. It's exceedingly very, very, very sticky, and it's metallized, so or metallic, and you put that on around the seam of the door. They say that that is plenty adequate for thank you, Minnie. I'd like to see that. That's plenty adequate for what we're looking at right now. So like I said, I'm not a scientist. I have no scientific opinion on this. It's not like on guns or anything where I do have a pretty good idea what's going on. I can only go by common sense and what I read. So anyway, I did take the precautions. I've messed around here all day trying to figure out about when it was going to hit to decide if I was even going to do my show tonight, because I am prepared right now to drop this computer in a bag and protect it if we have any prior knowledge of this whatsoever. Everything else, I went ahead and took all of our cordless phones. Everybody is sitting around here with bags to drop the cell phones in. If we have any, like I said, prior knowledge of this, if we hear things are being hit around the country and we're able to get them in bags, all the cell phones around here should be protected, excuse me. So from what I read, the way this thing slowed down, tomorrow is going to be the bigger danger than tonight. So that was the deciding factor of whether I was going to do my show or not tonight. I do have one laptop in a Faraday bag. And I think that if it was a full-fledged EMP, I don't know that these bags are adequate, but I do believe that they're plenty adequate for what we're looking at here. So we've got a bunch of those, and I've got some big enough to put laptops in and all of that. We've got everything else in a safe in a metal building, and I think that we'll be pretty well protected. Of course, we might lose our TV and all that if it happens to get bad enough, but we've got our communication stuff and our computers, I think we're... By the way, for those of you that have flashlights like the Surefire lights and stuff like that, they could be, probably not for this, but just in case, I did stick a few of them in bags, but probably not for this type of event, but an EMP could probably knock those flashlights out because they do have electronic circuitry in them that would probably not survive that. So, yeah, Pumpkin Cat, that's exactly right. It's a great practice run for us. We'll realize that some of us were not, and I'm one of them. Well, I can't say that. The only reason I'm not as prepared is because I don't have the knowledge that I'd like to have of this stuff. I did have the bags and everything ready to go. I've got, a metal safe without gaskets in a metal building that will protect from most of that stuff. So I guess I was pretty well prepared for that. But for those of you that have bought smart guns, they're probably not going to work. That would crack me up. I would so die laughing if I found out that somebody was trying to use one of those smart guns with the little electronic circuitry in it, and it didn't work after a solar event or an EMP or something like that. And they won't, certainly not after an EMP. I mean, I'm sure that will knock those out right away. This CME stuff, probably not, but they say that there could be an interruption in radio transmission. It may actually affect some radios and stuff. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's nothing we can do about it. So, yeah, my AK. Oh, Doc, by the way, those safeties hopefully will be on their way Saturday. They're out at the ranch, and they don't go into town every day. I've got Jason to dig some up for you, and they should be on their way to you. I hope that I'm sure it is, your shipping address is still the same that you gave me a year and a half ago. If it is, that's where they'll be coming to. So, okay, let's, okay, I can't wait to see it, Doc. I am dying to check it out. But, all right, let's move on. Oh, by the way, let me tell you where I got those bags and stuff. I've had these stockpiled here ever since... Actually, after about the last time I shipped something to all that brass to you, Doc, is about the time I got these bags. And they will not... They're pretty neat. From the way they describe these, they have taken a stun gun and hit it in numerous places on a cell phone that was turned on in one of these bags. All over, on the face, on the keypad, in the ports, and the stun gun does not hurt them at all. However, you can leave the phone on, and the radio waves will get out and back in. You can receive and transmit, but the EMP or CME waves, whatever you call them, won't get in there. So these bags can actually be, the phone can be functional in your pocket, and still be protected at least somewhat. I don't know how well they protect, but they guarantee them. They claim that these are Faraday bags. So whether they'll protect against a full EMP or not, I don't know. But they should be more than adequate for what we're looking at here in the next couple of days. I'm going to put this link in the chat room. These bags are cheap. There's no reason in the world that you shouldn't at least have them to try, just in case. You can get all different sizes. You can get sizes big enough to put a 17-inch laptop in. You got them small enough that you can drop in, a watch or a any type of little bitty leg. They come from anywhere from about 2 inches square up to about 24 inches square. So the I don't think so, DeTinker. I don't believe that that's well, there's a difference between electrical signals and radio waves, buddy. That's what we're talking about. The electrical signals, yes. Radio waves, no. So I think that's the difference right there. But you can check it out. The link is there, and that's where we got them. They're very inexpensive, and you no reason you can't have a few of them stuck back. And if you're concerned about it, you might double up on them. Or, you know, wrap it in a piece of tinfoil and put it in. Of course, if you do that, then that will eliminate it transmitting and being functional or being able to use it, but it will definitely protect it. We found out that two layers on a cell phone, two layers of heavy-duty tinfoil will knock the signal out. If you're going to go out somewhere in the woods and you haven't got a place to put your phone, I actually carry a little metal box with several sheets of heavy-duty tinfoil in that box. And if we ever need to have a meeting somewhere or something and we just gather up everybody's cell phones, wrap them in that foil and put them in that box, and they are dead. As soon as I close the lid, I hear my Bluetooth say phone disconnected or whatever it says. So yeah, I know that the signal is not getting out. And I can drop that box in the toolbox of my truck, and we are guaranteed not to have any problems with that. And so protection from these things is not, well, I guess it is kind of like rocket science, but once you figure out how to do it, it's not cost prohibitive. It's not difficult to do. There's no reason that you can't protect at least some of your smaller stuff from some of these events. So, with all that being said, you've got the link to the bags. Be sure and bookmark that, save it. And right now, tomorrow, providing the everything's still up and running and going well, tomorrow would be a great day for you to get some of those bags coming. You can buy a bunch, help your neighbors out, sell them to them. Buy them and sell them for twice what you pay for them, because they're cheap. Nobody would bat an eye, pay double for them. So be a good bartering tool right there, maybe. So anyway, I noticed Doc's not saying anything about while I'm telling all this. I don't know if he don't want to say it because I don't know, have any idea what I'm talking about, or if what I'm saying is legitimate and he thinks it's okay, because I know Doc knows a whole lot more about this than I do. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it for the time being. So let me let's see what order I want to do these in. Well, it's close enough to break time. Maybe I don't want to do them in any order just yet. We'll just take a little break. Now, I'm going to take these last 3 or 4 minutes here before break time, and I'm going to tell you, I watched quite a bit of the 9/11 ceremonies and memorials and stuff today, and I got to tell you, it's still pretty pretty touching to sit through and watch some of this stuff. It's to see the kids there that lost parents and whatnot. They were so young that they don't even remember. You got to remember, some of these kids are in seventh grade now, and they were just either not born yet or you know, very, very young when this happened. So they're seventh and eighth grade. And yeah, Kelly just said she was almost two when it happened. She don't remember anything about it. So, but I'll tell you where I was, and I probably told you last year, and I may tell you next year if everything stays together enough that we can have a radio show next year. But I was working for a directional drilling outfit in Albuquerque, and the outfit we was working for drilled holes under highways and stuff and over to the other side and that kind of thing. And when I walked in to get everybody together, get the trucks loaded up and everything. We saw the first one hit, the first plane hit. And I thought, boy, that's weird. That's about a non-plane driving son of a gun there. And then pretty soon, the second one hit. Second one hit before we got away from the shop. And we went on out to the job. And I sat there for a little while. And I listened to the radio and everything was going on, switching back and forth between a couple of different channels. And hadn't got the rig set up and moving yet. We were kind of moving a little slow because I was listening to this stuff. And when those buildings collapsed, I said, okay, that's it. I'm going home. You guys pick your stuff up, put it in the truck. We're going back to Albuquerque. I called the boss and said, I told him what was going on. I said, we're going home. And this was, in my very biased opinion, this was quite a step for me, because this is not something, it's not like you're raking leaves for somebody or something. This is a large project to get out and get everything set up and drill. They have millions of dollars of equipment. And I said, okay, that's it, I got to go. Hey, 7.62, glad to see you in here. I saw you in here the other night, and I didn't get to talk to you, but welcome to the shooting bench. I'm glad you could join us for a little while. Anyway, so it was a big decision for me to do this, and I fully expected to be fired over it. And I called him and I said, Mike, you know, with what's going on, I said, I'm going home to be with my family. And he said, well, what could possibly, what is going on in New York could possibly have anything to do with here? And I said, you know what, if everything's okay and we're able to come back to work soon, I said, I'd be delighted to sit down and talk to you about this, discuss it with you, but right now I need to go. And I went to the yard, parked everything, and headed home. And well, I got about halfway home, a little less than halfway, and State Police Intelligence called me because of my affiliation with the militia. And they said, so, well, what do you guys plan on doing? I said, I'm going home. I said, I'm going to stop and make sure we've got, I forgot what it was I bought. It may have been a flag. But anyway, I'm going to stop at Walmart and pick up a couple things. I'm going to the house and I'm going to stay there and see what happens. And that was the end of that discussion. We didn't go any farther than that. But that's what we did that day. We went home and we stayed close to the TV and watched everything that was going on. Prayed quite a bit. And you know, we discussed things a whole lot, and I think, I don't remember what day of the week that was, but I waited another day or so, and then went back to work. They didn't fire me, so I guess that's a good thing. So all of those memories and everything, I would do is pretty big deal for me, and I was, you know, 2,500 miles away or whatever it is. I can just imagine the people that were in New York, the people that were even within a couple hundred miles of there, the people that had family there, people that witnessed it. I can't even imagine what they go through every single year when they have these memorials and things. So, all right, well, it's break time, so that's what we're going to do.
I just hate stupid people.
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold, dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time. Just like Gonzales, we're keeping our guns.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Welcome back to the Shooting Bench.
Well, you didn't get dressed up for nothing.
All right, we're back. Sorry about the little delay there, but we're still got a lot going on around here, too. Okay, let's move on. There's good news to all of this. We originally saw that, I guess I should rephrase that. Originally, I thought it was good news, but the way the story first came out, everybody was of the belief that the entire leadership of ISIS was wiped out in an unexplained explosion, but as it turns out, it was the ISIS opposition that was wiped out. There was 50 senior commanders of a major opposing force here, Islamic moderates that were opposed to ISIS and what they do, that were killed by an explosion in their secret command bunker. So there's no telling where that explosion may have come from or what caused it or who initiated it or whatever. So it wasn't as good news as we thought. I mean, it's still a bunch of camel jockeys, but the wasn't as good as it could have been. So anyway, all right, let me see. We have a news deal coming in here. Okay, that can wait. Let me get over here and see my new stuff. While I'm waiting here for a second, I found several stories I need to get done here. But while we're waiting for that, I'd like to remind everyone once again of the class coming up in Lincoln, California. That will be the Glock Armors class on the 18th of October, and the 8-hour disaster preparedness seminar on the 19th of October. Now, we've already got people signing up for those and checking with them, so that's pretty well carved in stone at this point. We are looking to try to do another one in Vernon. In Stockton, Utah. And if that one goes through, that will, I doubt if we're going to be able to do it in November, because we're about to get full in November. We have a, on Veterans Day, on the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, we're going to have a rendezvous. It's actually a preparedness rendezvous in Young, Arizona. Young as in not old, Arizona. And that's going to be 4 days long. There will be lots of instructors, lots of speakers, including me. We're going to be in that deal. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of good information put out there. And on the 15th of November, we're looking at having a private gun show in Prescott Valley, or Prescott, one or the other, Arizona. That'll be a lot of fun. And for those, let me check the chat room here and see what kind of, see if I'm looking for somebody here. Let's see. All right, I don't see any of them, but they'll find out soon enough. We're looking at, I had some people contact me today from my old stomping grounds up in Farmington, New Mexico. And they're wanting to do a disaster preparedness class. So, and that will be, well, we don't have a date planned for that. We just mentioned that today. So, and Edge of the Woods just reminded me also of the another combat medic class coming up at Schott's Ranch. I believe that is, Chuck, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's the first weekend in November, isn't it? First and second, I believe. Pretty sure. Yeah, okay, yeah, first and second of November. And, guys, I'm going to tell you what. You know, we had people, Chuck did want to see the class before last, I believe it was. We had people from California. We had people from Iowa. And this class is worth traveling to. It's worth spending some money on. There is no other class like this. Not like this one. There's lots of first aid classes out there. There's lots of paramedic classes. There's lots of places to teach you how to patch up a gunshot wound. But not like this one. So this class is cheap, if you ask me, considering the amount of information that you get out of it, and the take-home things, that a few little things that you get to carry home with you. The biggest thing that you get is a very nice pamphlet, a very nice booklet, not a pamphlet, a booklet that Edge of the Woods has put together for you. And it is an awesome book. There's a lot of stuff in there. This is life-saving information. There's just not any. There's just not anything to compare it to. There's. Chuck just said he's made some improvements. Figured out a way to decompress a collapsed lung, and show you how to do it as well. There's one of the guys that took the first aid class. It's definitely not a first aid class. Casper Mountain was there class before last. It is truly a combat medic class. This is how you fix people up with stuff that you find out in the field. Of course, it's nice to have a few things on you. Of course, makes it a whole lot easier. But Chuck can show you. Ranger, that class is $500, I think, $495, I believe it is. And Chuck can show you ways to do it, even if you don't have a lot of the stuff with you. So what I'd like to do, I saw Aaron in there a while ago, I'd like to be able to, if we could get the people together for it, I would like to haul Chuck out to California with me and do this combat medic class and put a four-day class on out there, but I doubt very seriously that he could get the time off, and I don't even know if I can take that much time off, but It'd be a heck of a lot of fun if we could do that. Boy, you talk about a cool weekend. Chuck, the only notice there is, if you're able to do it, it would be the 18th and 19th. If we did your class, it would be the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. We've already got the other two classes carved in stone and ready to go, so we'd have to see if we could market yours and get it going. Maybe we could, next month, October. So maybe we could plan that for another time and get out there, maybe, you know, get away from the winter around here, maybe go out and do it in January or February if everything holds together well enough. I've got some people out there that'll help us put that together. That would be a freaking awesome bargain type class to do. So we'll talk about that later on. Yeah, it's a little bit warmer out there than it is here, actually. So here I was trying to get my things together here and managed to get off on a tangent again and lost them. So here we go. Now, this is in Minnesota. I walked out of a restaurant one time. Well, actually, it was a McDonald's. I was in a McDonald's years ago. I was working for that same company that I was telling you about doing the directional drilling under highways and stuff. I was working for that same outfit. And I was in Belen, New Mexico, I believe it was. And I went to a McDonald's. And I looked at the receipt, and they had a takeout fee or a takeout tax. When I got it at the drive-in, I said, well, I'll come a few minutes earlier and I'll stop that. We won't pay that again. So I said, okay, I got there early. I ate inside. I looked at the receipt, and I'll be damned if they didn't have a dine-in, eat-in fee, or eat-in tax, I think they called it. Oh, that was about the last time I went to McDonald's. It ain't because the food sucks or anything else. I went there because I quit going because of that. Oh, you have no idea how furious I was over that. I made myself out of an ass before I left that restaurant, you know. But no, they weren't discounts, Ranger. They were fees, taxes. They charged me more. They charged me more for eating out, and they charged me more for eating in. What the hell am I supposed to do? So I was not a happy camper. So anyway, with that in mind, setting the stage here for this story in Minnesota. There's a restaurant there. Get this. Charges a 35-cent minimum wage fee to all of its bills after the state's minimum wage was raised Friday 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. They said, we're just doing what we have to do. So this this prompted about 200 comments on their Facebook page. The Facebook's page's name is Huevos Rancheros. Huevos Rancheros is what's on the menu in this part of the country. It's not something that's not a restaurant. But he said, I'd gladly absorb a price increase to make sure my waitress and waiter were making a more livable wage, but I won't patronize a restaurant with your attitude. That's what one of the customers said. Any increase in wages applies to your competitors as well. So you're not at a disadvantage by treating your workers well. So at 35 cents a ticket, it'd be one thing to raise your prices a little bit and probably even make you more money. If you raise another nickel for a glass of milk and an extra quarter for a hamburger, and that would probably go unnoticed and you'd make more money. Okay. But when you put that 35 cent per ticket, that means you go in and get a Coke that costs probably a dollar and a half to start with, and then you get that 35 cent fee added. And you spend $65 because you take a couple of your friends out there to eat, you still get that 35 cent tax added. It's how it's written on the menu that was a big deal. Minimum wage fee. Unbelievable. Yeah, I think I would have an issue with that. Others, they say, were supportive of it, though. They said, we'll be making the drive to come up there and support your business. Bravo for pointing out where the price increase is coming from. That is a Obama supporter, I'm thinking. Now, by the way, the girl's name? Lisa Poulsen Slobodian. Thought I'd throw that in there. Minnesota raised its minimum wage to $8 an hour for large employers and $6.50 an hour for small employers. Now, how much sense does that make? Beginning Friday, 4 weeks ago. And they'll see two additional increases in the next 2 years. So they're going to be adding another 35-cent minimum wage fee to their menu here before long, it looks like. But there should not be a minimum wage fee. Absolutely not. That's nuts. It's insane. Casper, that's what I was wondering. Surely somewhere in the statute, in the legislation there, there's bound to be something that talks about that defines a large business over a small business. But no, there should be no minimum wage. Minimum wage is what's caused a lot of problems and a lot of labor problems. The people that are making a minimum wage think it's a great thing. But the people that are making minimum wage, instead of... See, this minimum wage thing was designed to be a temporary help for people while they're trying to get a job, and they've taken advantage of it and blown it up now to where McDonald's workers want $15. You don't ask for a raise when you're making minimum wage. What you do is ask for a job. You try to get a better job and get some education and get out and do something with your life instead of working for minimum wage your whole life. That's nothing to be proud of. You don't ask for a way, oh, I got to have more money to live on. No. What you need to do is quit flipping burgers and get out and find something else to do. Everybody has talents and skills and abilities to do things other than flip burgers. And maybe if you flip burgers well enough and get moved up into a different position, maybe you'll get out of that minimum wage position. But let's see. Aaron says, perhaps West Restaurant trying to make a point to the public, letting them know how big government's sticking it to the businesses. Yeah, that's a good point, Aaron. It could be. I think it's probably the wrong way to go about it, and people didn't take it that way. But you're absolutely right. That very well could be... could have been what it was, and as you say there, that's what I said a while ago. Otherwise, these taxes would remain invisible, and they could make more money and cover it better if they were invisible and nobody would say anything. So this was they probably could have made the same point by saying, okay, at the top of the menu in big bold letters, you know, prices have gone up slightly in the last week. For this reason, because we have to raise our minimum wage, and they could probably still get the point across. I don't know, but like Doc says, they shouldn't even be doing minimum wage to start with. So, Aaron's charging a 3-cent surcharge whenever somebody wants to use their plastic in order to purchase. I do the same thing with. I didn't do it in the store. But I do it on GunBroker and PayPal and other things like this. If they want to use a card, then it's 3% because we have to cover those fees somehow. And cash, check, money order, we don't charge that. Yeah, we've done that for a long, long time. And anyway, all right, let's move on here. Let me find another. It's almost break time again. Well, I'm talking too much. Somebody was listening last night and said, you know, you sounded really depressed. And I said, I was really frickin' depressed. I'm depressed at the fact that our country is going down the tubes here, and we're watching it and acting like we're enjoying it. And we're doing nothing about it. I watched on Fox News today. And it's not surprising to me. It's not surprising in the least little bit. But they went around and interviewed a bunch of college kids, something like, I don't remember how many it was, 300 college kids or something like that. And while they could not identify what ISIS was, they could tell you the names of the celebrities that were affected by the computer hacking thing that went on here just a week or two ago. And I'm just the opposite. I have no earthly idea who was affected by that, but I have every idea of why who ISIS is and why Obama calls it ISIL and what ISIL is and what it includes. Yeah, I know all about that, but I have no idea who the celebrities were that were affected by this. Now, that's not a new phenomenon. This says, I may have told you this story before, back in, when was it when Clinton was elected the first time? 94, I think. I was running a loader out on a highway job out between Albuquerque and Grants, New Mexico. And there was she was running loader, actually. I was running an excavator, that's what it was. She was running a 966 Cat loader. And we stopped for lunch, good-looking gal. And I'm talking to her at lunchtime there. And we were talking back and forth about the benefits and liabilities of the candidates who was at the time Clinton and we were talking, I don't remember what brought the conversation up. We were talking about George Bush Jr. I don't remember what brought that up. But at any rate, I said something about doing something like his daddy did. And she said, oh, his daddy was a president too? I said, okay, never mind. This conversation's done. I'm going to finish my sandwich, and you're not as good looking as I thought you were. So I got to go. But same thing happened one time in Idaho when I was, I run the ski lift up at the ski bowl right outside the south of Emida, Idaho. And there was a gal in there who was going to college, and she was absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. And I was striking up a conversation with her, and then I found out what her goal, what she was studying, is that she wanted to, she said, everybody can be rehabilitated. I don't care what they've done, who they are, everybody can be rehabilitated. So she was going to school with the express idea that she would be able to get organized crime, organized criminals, gangsters off and get them rehabilitated. And I said, okay, next. This is not going to work. So anyway. Okay, let me, here I was blabbing away and didn't get my break prepared here. So let's get our break prepared here. This will work right here.
I'll be back.
Bird stands in the corner with a barrel so straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie, draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measure Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
Well, Mama was exhausted after she had me. Two nurses to hold me and one nurse to slap me. Doctor turned to Mama and he shook his head, wiped the sweat off his brow, and then he said, charge as far as I can tell. Ooh, brr, Mama, he's a double XL.
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
And it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right. We're back. Before we get off on these, we've got some good news and some very bad news in a little bit. Before we do that, though, I want you to hear how Alan West explains radical Islam here.
A Marine asked him a question.
Now, well, let me say this, and this.
Turn your sound up a little bit.
Popular, whatever. The first thing you got to do is you got to study and understand who you're up against. And you must realize that this is not a religion that you're fighting against. You're fighting against a theopolitical belief system and construct. You're fighting against something that's been doing this thing since 622 A.D., 7th century, 1388 years. You want to dig up Charles Martel and ask him why he was fighting the Muslim army at the Battle of Tours in 732? You want to ask the Venetian fleet at Lepanto why they were fighting a Muslim fleet in 1571? You want to ask the Christian, the Germanic and Austrian knights why they were fighting at the gates of Vienna in 1683. You want to ask people what happened in Constantinople and why today is called Istanbul because they lost that fight in 1453. You need to get into the Quran. You need to understand their precepts. You need to read the surah. You need to read the hadith. And then you can really understand this is not a perversion. They are doing exactly what this book says. But
all right,
and I'm going to close. I want to close by saying this, and I think we have said this all through this morning so far. Until you get principal leadership in the United States of America that is willing to say that, we will continue to chase our tail because we will never clearly define who this enemy is, and then understand their goals and objectives, which is on any jihadist website, and then come up with the right and proper goals and objectives to not only secure our republic, but to secure Western civilization. Thank you. You know,
all right, there you go. There's Alan West explaining in great detail. And I tell you, he said all that, never looked down, was looking at the person that asked the question to start with, never looked at his notes. He has obviously studied this a little bit and just blew that out without ever missing a lick there. I thought that was a great, great explanation. Matter of fact, I may even record that and use it once in a while. That's a damn good way to explain who our enemy is there. Okay, let's move on into some other things here. We were going to, Thursday is normally gun night. And in this last hour, if you guys have any questions, I haven't looked at gun stuff much today because of the everything else that's going on. So I kind of neglected to stick to my guns, so to speak, here. So if you guys have some questions or topics, let me know. We can change course a little bit. There's just been so many other things on my mind. We kind of last night the show was kind of a drag. I just wasn't into it last night, and I guess everything went wrong because the damn thing didn't record either. So we lost that one, and it's probably just as well because it didn't work out very well. So anyway, yeah, Alan West is it's a shame. It's funny to me that Alan West is and several other legislators are so good at what they do, yet they still voted for NDAA of 2012. Now, that in itself is not necessarily a deal breaker. People say, people against NDAA and all this stuff. These people don't even know what NDAA is. There's been 53 NDAAs before this one, and they have an NDAA every freaking year. It's not a big deal. It's the National Defense Authorization National Defense Authorization Act. They do it all the time. It's nothing new. But in 2012, there were two provisions in that NDAA that were very, very evil. Now, people should be, people should bring that to light and say, well, we're not against NDAA. There has to be, they have to figure out what they're going to spend for defense and all that. What they're going to do with the money and everything. Okay, I may not agree with everything that they decide on, but I do agree that it has to be decided on one way or another. I do not agree that there should be the provisions that were, holding American citizens indefinitely without due course because of this act, because of the terrorism thing and all that. So,
Well, yeah, that's right, Minnie. I forgot about that. Somebody else, I didn't see that, but somebody else or hear it. But somebody else mentioned that, that Homeland was part of the battlefield. Even if it is, who cares? I have to, to a certain degree, agree that the what they're calling the homeland here in our country has become part of the battlefield, and it's going to get a lot worse. But that doesn't mean that you can detain American citizens without due course for whatever they've done. Even if they, I don't care what they've caught doing, if they're an American citizen. Now, I would also say, and someone, who is it? Ted Cruz, Trey Gowdy, somebody is introducing legislation that if someone has joined ISIS or any of these terrorist organizations that were American citizens to fight against America, that they would automatically lose their citizenship. And I, that's what I said to begin with the first time I heard that. Back in, long before these people ever thought of it, I said that on the air a long time ago. If they're going to do that, then first time I said it was when that guy, what was that guy's name, Johnny something from California? I forgot what his name was. As soon as he made the news, then that's when I decided, you know what, if you're going to fight against America, then you should lose your citizenship. If you are going to be, if it's treason and you're convicted of a felony, you're still going to lose it. So, or your rights anyway, maybe not your citizenship. But yeah, that's one thing. Everybody goes all goo-goo over Alan West, and he has got a lot of neat stuff, and he's a good speaker, and he's got good ideas. But him and quite a few others that would be considered heroes otherwise voted for NDAA of 2012. So that's a problem, definitely a problem. I understand what he's saying about being part of the battlefield, but I just don't agree with the provisions of NDA of 2012. So, with all that behind us, let's go to Baltimore, where a man was attacked while walking home. This was 4 days ago, 5 days ago. He was walking around. He went around the corner, didn't even have time to react. He said, I had no idea what was going on. They came out swinging, and I didn't have a second to react. Okay, let's stop and analyze that statement there for a minute. And this is some of the stuff that we go over in all of our defensive weapons classes, particularly the handgun classes. If you came around the corner and didn't have a second to react, you cut that corner way too close. If you're out at night, which this was at a night after the bar closed or whatever. If you're out at night and you're alone and it's dark and you don't just go cruising around corners while you're texting and talking on the cell phone or making goo-goo eyes at your honey. When you get to the corner, you need to skirt it a little wider and you need to check that corner as soon as you get around it. You should be able to see anybody around that corner before you ever turn the corner. Now, this is a whole different lifestyle that some people have to adopt here, but you can't just be walking around with your thumb in your butt all the time and walking around, especially in the dark. Even in the daytime, I don't care if it's dark or not, it doesn't make any difference. You need to start paying attention to where you're going. You don't walk down alleys unless it's absolutely unavoidable. You don't go out there unless you're armed and legged. No. Unless you're carrying a gun, you don't do that. You just don't. Particularly not in Baltimore, for crying out loud. I spent a week in Baltimore one night. It was Baltimore is a very ugly place. I didn't like Baltimore at all. It was neat as far as, you know, in the daytime. We went down to a Fuddruckers. And it's right on the, right across the street is the harbor, the bay, whatever you call it. And it's a neat place. Lots of neat architecture but boy, I tell you what, there are some weirdos there. That is a that is not a place where the average guy wants to just hang out by himself there. It's an ugly place. I didn't like it a little bit. It was a neat place to watch, to look at and everything, but I've seen everything there that I want to see. I don't ever want to go back. I do not ever want to go back to Detroit. Detroit is an incredibly, I can't imagine how it is now. It was badder than hell when I was there in, when was I there? 93 maybe, somewhere in there. It was bad then. And from what I've heard of all the news stories and everything, I can't possibly imagine what it's like now. I wouldn't go back to Detroit for nothing in the world. I didn't lose anything there to start with. I didn't like it the first time I went, and I sure as hell wouldn't like it now. I think I told you before, we were talking about Detroit here a few months ago, and that's the first place I'd seen where the damn the fund for the Ronald McDonald House was chained to the counter. I'd never heard of such thing. Of course, you see it all over that way now. But I never heard of such a thing in my life. I went there. When you go up to McDonald's, you go through the drive-through, and the window is not on your left. It's a solid brick wall. And you don't talk to people. There's a, let's see, how did it work? There's a speaker there. Maybe it's not a solid brick wall because your food comes on a dumbwaiter. You order it and you wait a little bit, and pretty soon this little door opens and a little elevator comes up, and there's your stuff, and you just grab it and be on your merry way. It was a quite an experience, Detroit was. I'm not a fan. And Baltimore either, or any other damn big city I've ever been to in my whole life, as far as that goes. But anyway, let's get back here. We're getting way off track here. So this guy said he couldn't find a parking spot near his house, so he parked several blocks away. And after having a few beers with friends there, he began walking home. And that's when he said three teens jumped him. One sucker punched him while the other two beat him. He said, I ended up down on the ground, and I just remember thinking, I've got to get back to my feet. What you should have been thinking is, I've got to clear this vest, this coattail, away from this gun so I can shoot these idiots. He said he was able to punch one of the teens and knocked him to the ground, and then took off, leaving him with a broken hand and a broken cheekbone. Said he might have to undergo surgery to fix his cheekbone. Said this highlights safety concerns some of the neighborhood have had this summer after recent attacks in Canton. This is the neighborhood, not the town. So we just talked about this. We played that little thing by Outlaw Josie the other night about being armed all the time. God, what don't you understand about that? I mean, hopefully I'm not talking to anybody in the chat room here, but I really don't understand why people are not armed all the time. Even when I have to go, which I'm not too wild about, but even when I have to go to the People's Republic, the gun that I carry, I try not to be too illegal, but I am still illegal, because I will still carry, at the very least, I'll carry a 5-shot revolver, and even when I'm in California, it's that whole thing that I've talked about several times, that risk versus reward deal. And that is that you have to decide, is the risk of being caught greater than the risk of needing the gun? In some places, if I were to go to Wyoming and the laws were the same, that you couldn't carry a gun, and it was a felony to do so, probably it'd be okay. I may not get too far away from the truck and keep one there, but the risk of a felony there would be greater than the risk of being attacked. When I go to California, at least certain parts of it, of course, Lincoln's not too bad, but California in general, then I have to decide which is, how's it going to be? Am I going to risk being without one or risk being caught? So I keep my mouth shut. I drive sanely, speed limit, and don't do anything that would draw any attention to myself. I don't go places that I don't need to go. I'll go to wherever we're staying, and that's where we spend most of our time, or going to teach a class or something like that. But I won't go out shooting pool or going bowling or doing things that I don't need to do while I'm out there, because I will be armed. So that's just the way it is. And Aaron, that's I'll have to check on that. That would be a good thing. And a lot of states, even New Mexico, New Mexico is not a felony. It's a you can carry an unloaded concealed handgun with no license there, but if it's loaded and you get caught without a permit, it's a petty misdemeanor. So I guess it's maybe just risking the judicial system, period, in California. But now that you mention it, I think you may be right about that. So I'll double check on that, or if you happen to know what those statutes are, maybe you can forward that to me and I'll check on it. But I imagine I could go to Cal Guns website and probably find out all the everything I always wanted to know about carrying a concealed weapon in California. And might not be a bad idea for me to brush up on that before I go again. But anyway, there's another story similar to that one, except this one's a little bit different. Now, remember the last guy was attacked by three teens. He was beat pretty bad. And I don't believe he was robbed. They were probably trying to do that, but it didn't work out because he fought back a little bit. Nevertheless, still got facial injuries and broken ribs or whatever it was. Here's another guy, this one in Wisconsin. A mob of Wisconsin teens attempted to rob a group of adults in Milwaukee, only to be shot by a guy carrying a concealed weapon. I love it when a plan comes together. That's the way it's supposed to be. Police say the group of teens attempted to rob a group of adults when one of the men pulled out his gun and started shooting at them. Fatally shot one of the robbers, 15-year-old known gang member. 15 years old. 15. I'm sitting here looking at my daughter, who's going to be 15 in a month, a little over a month and a half. And I can't imagine. She's making faces and saying, that is so stupid. I can't imagine. And, I hope you always have that attitude. There are so many things that teenagers can do with their lives other than join gangs and try to rob people. And that guy now is laying in a refrigerator with a tag on his toe. Now, does that make sense to you? I mean, I can blame, ultimately it's the kid's fault, but you can, you can blame the environment that they're raised in. You can blame their parents. You can blame their friends. You can blame a lot of different things. Ultimately it comes down, when somebody's 15 years old, they're old enough to make their own decisions when they make those choices. But you gotta admit, even though it is, they do make those choices themselves, but you have to admit that the environment that they're being raised in and the people they're being raised around and the people that are raising them has a great deal to do with that. I don't think that kids in rural Wyoming, Montana, they're raised out there by people that know how to raise kids, raised on the farm, on a ranch or whatever. And the vast and overwhelming majority of teenagers raised in Wyoming don't join gangs. The way it is. They may make a few bad choices as far as going out and partying a little too hardy and everything, and that's not any good either, but it could be worse. So, Dragon Medic, take care, buddy. I'm glad you could drop in here for a little while. Aaron, we'll have to look that up. It's a felony if you're caught with a concealed knife over 6 inches or 4 inches or whatever it is. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I'm all about that. So, all right. Let's see here. Let me see what else we got in the chat room going on. All right. Okay, let's go. It's almost break time. Let's see. Shot the 15-year-old. Police have arrested another two 14-year-olds, a 16-year-old, two 14-year-old males, a 16-year-old male, and a 17-year-old female, and an 18-year-old male. This is the whole group. So that's two, three, four, five, and the one that got killed was six. Six teenagers, one of them being an adult, 18 years old. And one of them got smoked for it. Yeah, I hate it. That's what happens. You know, I wish this 15-year-old kid could wake up in this morgue, in this dark locker, and realize what he'd done. I'd like to talk to him after he'd been shot, knowing he'd been killed. I'd like to see him just come to life and get another chance after going that far. I think that would be very interesting and certainly an eye opener to the 15-year-old kid. But you know, you just hate to see youth wasted like that. You hate to see young kids that make bad decisions and get on drugs and alcohol and join gangs and do this kind of stuff and wind up either having fatal car accidents or getting shot, ODing on drugs, and a lot of it comes from trying to impress people and running with the crowd instead of being a leader. You know, we don't have to be followers. We have that opportunity to influence people in such a way as to make, you know, you may, and I tell my kids this, that you, if you lose any friends because of that, then they weren't your friends to start with. Your friends will say, you know, Kelly, I am so glad that you did that. I couldn't do it by myself, but when you took charge there and said, we can't do that, and started to walk away, I'm right with you, sister. I needed to do the same thing. So you never know who you might influence with your actions and your thoughts and your deeds. And I think that it's something for all of us to think about at any age. And it took me a long time. I wish someone would have set me down hard when I was a lot younger and had that talk with me. And I had to find out the hard way. And I'm hoping that my kids will take heed to some of the things that I say and realize that, you know, some of these things there's no coming back from. You know, you make some mistakes that there's some of them that just cannot be undone. And it's a terrible, terrible, sick feeling in the pit of your stomach when you do some of that stuff. And when you get that terrible, sick feeling, you know that you've done something wrong. You should start right then to get it corrected. But That too, Doc. Absolutely. No question about it. Yeah, been there, done that. And wish I wouldn't have. Got the T-shirt. Okay. Well, that was all a lot of fun. Cheery and rosy and everything. So why don't we dash out here and take another break. Let's see. What do we want to do here? Oh, let's do something a little more lighthearted. We'll be back here in a couple minutes. Stay with me.
Hello, infidel. Infidel, phone ringing. Oh, yes, infidel. Pick up the phone. It could be Allah calling. Oh, pick up the phone before it blows up. Pick up the phone. Oh, Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Pick up the phone.
Achtung, jetzt wir singen zusammen die Geschichte über den Schweinkopf in Hund und den lieben Weltmeer.
After the turn of the century, in the clear blue skies over Germany, came a roar and a thunder men had never heard, like the screaming sound of a big war bird.
The following is a public service announcement brought to you by the John Denver Committee to Prevent Air Show Violence and Deaths Now. The JDCPASVADN says that until we close the air show loophole and place common sense regulations on assault planes with high-capacity fuel tanks, the death toll at air shows will continue to rise. Fuel tanks in assault planes should be limited to 10 gallons or less, except for law enforcement and military aircraft. Call your congressman today and ask him to support SB 1369, written in honor of the many victims of needless air show violence.
Amen. Try.
Shop Saturday evening is 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
I'm Megyn Kelly. Breaking tonight is Barack Obama's presidency imploding. Al-Qaeda is resurging, Iraq is disintegrating, and now we may look to Iran to help us stop it. Iran, a terrorist regime responsible for the deaths of thousands of Americans. What could possibly go wrong? We have drawn red lines in Syria we refuse to enforce. We stood by as Russia seized part of Ukraine. And now we are releasing top Taliban leaders as the Afghanistan war is still going. Not to worry, they tell us Qatar's going to watch them for a year, we hope. Domestically, we have a president who has lost the trust of the American people by repeatedly misleading them. He bypasses Congress, the people's representatives, on matters ranging from Obamacare to immigration law, to the point where one of the most respected liberal law professors in the country has called our president the very danger the Constitution was designed to avoid. The American public overwhelmingly regrets Obamacare. Our veterans are dying, waiting to see doctors. The IRS intimidates conservative groups. The southern border is compared to a sieve. And the president assures us not to worry. Smiling, golfing, and at this very moment, partying with fashion queen Anna Wintour. Because the fundraising never stops. Not when four Americans die in Benghazi, and not when Baghdad is at the brink.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? She and I go get and beat you with you understand who's in front of command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
Okay, we've made it back. Let's see if we can finish this up here. Goodness, hold on a minute. Okay. You know, it's funny that I was looking at this thing that Minnie posted here about the teacher in Utah. That was, and it is legal to carry a gun in Utah and at a school if you have a permit and everything. But it's funny that she had discharged her gun here. Now, this, our concealed weapons class, actually our, not only our concealed weapons class, but our, any of our personal defense handgun classes, we actually talk about what you're to do with your gun in a public restroom. That's something that's kind of not touched on by too many instructors, I don't think. And so we go over that because there has been a number of issues in public restrooms. There have been people that have left guns. There's been people that have had guns stolen. There's been people that have discharged them in some manner or another in restrooms. And this story here reminds me, when I first saw that, I thought Minnie had posted an old story, because there was a guy in Layton, Utah. We talked about it on the show here back in, it must have been 2007, maybe. And talked about that in Layton, Utah. He was at a Carl's Jr., and he was in the bathroom. He let his gun discharge in some way or another. Pulled the trigger, obviously. And that one also hit the toilet. He was wounded by fragments of the toilet. That was at a Carl's Jr. And it's funny, because if you look that up, the following Monday, I believe it was, they had a memorial service for John. Yeah, true story. I thought that was kind of funny. But, you know, this, I guess it goes back again to the thing we always talk about, people, they just don't know what they don't know. They, experienced does not mean trained. We have a lot of people, hang on a minute. We have a lot of people that have a lot of experience and they think they're squared away, but they don't have training. And there is a monstrous difference in those. And I can think of quite a number of people that think that they don't need those classes because they've been carrying a gun for quite a while and so far haven't hurt anybody or needed to use it. And when you get them in the class, they say, oh, geez, wow, I had no earthly idea that there was this much to this. I had never thought about that. Well, that's why we do what we do. So, all right, let's go on. Here's another story. We talked about this one. This was back in 2012 that we talked about this story. yeah, Rights at Risk. It was, if you want to look that up, it was in Layton, Utah, at a Carl's Jr., and I think it was 2007, 2008, something like that. And I believe that guy dropped his gun. And reason being, and that's one of the reasons we cover the things that we do on public restrooms, is because a lot of your inside the pants holsters and whatnot have no retention. They're only there by friction and the belt's holding it in there, and they're fine as long as your pants are up and the belt's attached and it's buckled. But if your top of your pants happens to turn over, and it probably will because it's so heavy, that gun just falls out on the floor. So there's quite a number of issues that need to be addressed when you are using public restrooms and guns. Or, that could be too many. But anyway, we talked about this story back in 2012 when it first happened. You guys that's been with me for a while, you might remember this. Remember the cannibal cop? The cop that had planned to kidnap and rape women and then kill them and eat them? Yeah, this was a real thing. And so he was caught, and he's been in jail ever since then. And he was potentially facing life in prison on kidnapping and conspiracy charges. But in the opinion of this judge, he stated that the evidence used to originally convict him did not sufficiently prove that the officer, or former officer, acted on what his attorney said were sexual cannibalistic fantasies involving women he never met, as well as his wife. He was planning on doing his wife first, and then others. The fact that he even thought about it, talked about it, mentioned it, is probably enough to be pretty suspicious. But nevertheless, he is walking free now. The judge said that the evidentiary record is such that it is more likely than not the case that all of his internet communications about kidnapping are fantasy role play. If you have fantasies about that, you've got a problem, and you should probably be dead or behind bars. He said he did uphold the conviction on a less serious charge, which says that he had used the NYPD's federal database to collect information on various women he intended to target. Now, if he used this database to collect this information, it's one thing to fantasize it in the privacy of your home, and and talk about it with a faceless, people that you can't identify on the internet. That's one thing, but when you use the department's database to find information on particular women, that seems to me that is a little more than role play, than fantasy role play. Said that conviction carried a sentence of up to 1 year in prison, but since he's been in jail since 2012, he can now be set free as of Tuesday. Now, this was a month or so ago, but although prosecutors originally argued that he had access to the NYPD database signaled that the former officer was taking steps to carry out his plan, they also claimed he had searched the internet in order to learn about using chloroform and to knock someone unconscious. This guy is going to hurt somebody. He's going to get out. He figured out that he can beat the system, knows how to do it. He's going to hurt somebody. Now, whether he rapes them and eats them and everything like he planned he was going to do, I don't know. But mark my words, he is not done. There is something desperately wrong with this individual. There's nothing wrong with him that a bullet couldn't cure. I'm sure that he could be forevermore cured of this affliction. He said when he appealed his conviction, his lawyers claimed the jury could not differentiate between the details of his fantasy and real steps towards making it a reality. Sounds like a stupid damn jury to me. The lawyer also pointed out the fact that no one was ever harmed to justify the idea that evidence in the case was lacking. He said no one was ever kidnapped, no attempted kidnapping ever took place, no real-world, non-internet-based steps were ever taken to kidnap anyone. Dates for planned kidnappings pass without comment, without discussion, without explanation, with no follow-up. The only plausible explanation for the lack of comment on inquiry about allegedly agreed-upon and scheduled kidnappings is that he and others engaged in these chats understood that no kidnapping would actually take place. The judge's well reasoned decision validates what we have said since the beginning. There was, if there was no crime, that he was innocent of any conspiracy, and that he's guilty of nothing more than having unconventional thoughts. Well, I don't know. I guess they'll find out soon enough. I'm not sure I agree with that 100%. Of course, I've always been a big advocate of not convicting people of victimless crimes. But when people go stark raving bat crap crazy over something like this, I think there's reason to be concerned enough to do something about it. Do I have opinions on the CZ-75? Well, as you know, Doc, I wouldn't have one because I am strictly Glock, but the CZ-75 is a fine weapon. They shoot well, they feel good, they shoot good, they're dependable. The CZ-75 will fit pretty much any holster that a 1911 will fit, and I have nothing bad to say about them. I don't want one, but I have nothing bad to say about the CZ-75. I think it's a great piece. CZ has made some stunning advancements in metallurgy and stuff over the last 20 years or so, and they've got some really, really well-built guns, rifles and handguns as well. I don't have any experience at all with any of their shotguns, but some of their handguns and rifles, I'm a fan of their rifles for sure. That little CZ 570 to 527 that I got, wow, that is an awesome little rifle. It's well, but the only thing I don't like about it, and it's the only damn gun in the world, is like this. Well, it's not either. There were some old 22s I remember that the safety was backwards on it. And I can't imagine why CZ would do such a thing. You pull the safety to the rear to fire it. And that's backwards from anything else. Remington, Winchester, or anything else. Savage, you push them forward to fire. This one you pull to the rear to fire. That seems to me that would be a tremendous liability for the company, for people that are used to shooting other rifles. I have to really, really stay on my toes when I'm using that gun to remember that the safety is not conventional on it. But it's got a set trigger on it, and I've worked on that quite a bit. Pumpkin Cat, good night, honey. I'm glad you could join us for a little while. It's got a set trigger, and I worked on that, smoothed it up, everything, and it's really nice. Matter of fact, without using the set trigger, now it's about 3.5 pounds, and I can't say that it breaks like glass because there's a lot of over travel because of the way the set trigger is designed. If you're not using the set trigger, well, it doesn't matter whether you're not using it or not. There's a tremendous amount of over travel on it, but you all know the reason that I got that gun and what I use it for, so I'm okay with that. I can live with it. Okay, let's look and see. We got people dropping off here from the out on the East Coast, and I don't blame them. It's getting awful late out there, and I appreciate you guys staying up as long as you do. For those of you that some of you have to work and whatnot, so. Let's see, we got one more thing I want to get done here. We talked about this story also. This was not very long ago. It was let's see. Let me check this out here. Yeah. This cop has been indicted. Remember the cop we talked about? This wasn't very long ago we talked about this. Him and some of his buddies had a teenager, 90-pound teenager down on the ground, And this cop walks up and says, I don't have time for this, and shot and killed that kid. Killed him dead while they were holding him down on the ground. Now the cop's been indicted for voluntary manslaughter. Originally, I think it was under investigation and never did hear anything from him. Well, now they say he's been indicted for voluntary manslaughter. Why is he not indicted for cold-blooded first-degree premeditated murder? Is what I don't understand. But let's see. Grand jury took part in presentment Monday. It's been hours. There was something here that I was... After I reviewed the case, I found that a crime almost certainly did take place. It was a bad shoot, and the grand jury has agreed. According to his stepfather, the kid had been tased and was pinned to the ground by two other cops when this guy stepped between them, said, "I don't have time for this," and fired a single shot and killed the kid dead. Now, he had been suspended without pay, which it's better than they usually do. But now he has been indicted for voluntary manslaughter. What a story this is. I can't believe that a cop would step up and do that. And I guess the other two cops had tried to stick up for him a little bit, or not really stick up for him, but tried to distance themselves and not really get involved instead of, picking up the torch and saying, "Hey, you know, this guy, that was wrong. There was no way he shouldn't have done that." You know, sticking together is fine as long as you're right, as long as you're righteous, as long as you're fair, as long as you're truthful. Sticking up for each other is a good thing in any field, any line of work. But you do not, under any circumstances, stick up for someone where you have to lie, someone that has done something that morally wrong. Now, I started to say illegal, but there are some things that are illegal that probably shouldn't be illegal. It is illegal to kill teenagers when two people are holding them down on the ground. So when there's something morally wrong, in many cases illegal, if you have to lie to stick up for your buddy, then you're wrong. And you're a sorry, low-life piece of garbage. Be truthful. Be fair. Let that be how you run everything you do in your life every day. And then you don't have to remember who you told which story to. But it's damn sure a weird world we're living in right now. It's going to get weirder before it's all done. So this solar storm is supposed to be at its peak and be the worst tomorrow sometime. I don't know exactly when. You might want to go ahead and take some precautions for some of your unprotected electronics. Doesn't hurt to lock up a few things, not lock them up, but, you know, get them in some type of protection. And hopefully everything will be okay and we won't have any major problems out of this. It is still September 11th. Still nothing has happened, which has definitely surprised the heck out of me. I fully expected to have a significant event happen today, but I've been expecting it for 13 years. So one of these days, I guess, when we least suspect it, maybe it's going to pop up and right at risk. If that's a good point. I don't know what... I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make sure that I have an archive standing by and ready. It may not be fresh Liberty Lounge, but I'll make sure that if anybody is on the air tomorrow night, If I'm not, for whatever reason, I'll make sure that we have a good archive on there for you. I'll make sure. As a matter of fact, I may just load that up tonight and make sure that there's one on there. So, there you go. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to sneak on out of here, and I'll see you with any luck. I may not. You know what? Well, I don't know. I'll probably see you tomorrow night. All right. Good night, guys. Appreciate you staying with me.
I dig myself down to the fair in town on Independence
Day. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time for the Shooting Bench right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
Let freedom.
Thank you.